Blog Talk Radio.
My daughter Kara came back from Iraq a few weeks ago. I'm so proud of her. She served and came back in one piece. But something was off. She was different. Distant. My wife told me not to push the issue, but I'm her dad.
You may not know what to say, but we can help start the conversation. Visit supportyourvet.org. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. And you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Well, right now, we're going to be speaking with Yvonne Laddie. She's a professor and the director of the Reporting New York Nation Programs at NYU's Carter Journalism Institute and the director of their Urban Journalism Workshop for high school students. She's the author of the book, In Conflict, Iraq War Veterans Speak Out on Duty, Loss and the Fight to Stay Alive, and also We Were There, Voices of African-American Veterans from World War II to the War in Iraq. She's also a filmmaker. She's done a film called Sacred Poison about the effects of uranium contamination in the Navajo Nation, and also In Conflict, the book was turned into a theater piece and won a Fringe First Award. I believe she's on the line right now. Good morning.
Hi. Hi,
good morning. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been doing a lot. You're a busy woman. Right now you're traveling around. Are you still showing the film?
Yeah, the film was just finished at the end of September, so now I'm doing the film festival route and trying to find a distributor and trying to get it out there because it's a really important, heavy topic.
Well, I just tried to play some PSAs about veterans. A lot of people are going to be coming back, you know, at this time from overseas. They're going to be coming back and they're going to be dealing with a lot of different issues, one of them being post-traumatic stress issues. Talk to me, when you were doing the book, We Were There, several of the essays were talking about the effects. What was something that really stood out for you?
Well, PTSD was a big issue for all the vets that I've talked to. We Were There talked a lot about, it kind of was a story of really race in America and how things have changed from World War II to where we are now in Iraq. And in the book, through the words of the vets, you get to sort of see American history and the role that African Americans played in changing history and how I think the most patriotic thing in some ways you can do is to serve in the military. And African Americans did it and many times got no credit for their service. And then towards the end of We Were There, when I get into Afghanistan and Iraq, that's when you start to see how the military has changed. And In Conflict is really a book that most of the vets in that book are experiencing PTSD as I'm interviewing them. And it was very, very difficult to see and listen to their stories and go to places like Walter Reed and really see the truth of what war does, what this war has done,
mm-hmm.
has done to men
mm-hmm.
and women. I mean, the toll
is
very great.
I want to mention, if you're listening, the Veterans Crisis Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, the Veterans Crisis Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. And also the Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, 1-800-273-8255. So if you're listening or you know someone who's just trying to process and deal with a lot of different issues, who have been in the war, any kind of war, please extend that number to them. On my previous show, I had Ravi Seletsky. She's a professor at SUNY Upstate Medical University, and she was doing a virtual reality therapy program up there that helped with phobias and combat related PTSD. So if you're listening, again, look her up. Her name's Ravi Seletsky, virtual reality therapy. Yvonne, I want to read a little bit from the book, We Were There.
Okay.
This is Gladys O'Thomas Anderson. She was a private in the Women's Army Corps from 1944 to 1946. With their heads held high, their backs erect, and regal expressions on their young faces, hundreds of black women walked in tight formations of three through the cobblestone streets of Birmingham, England. These women, members of the 68-88th Central Postal Directory Battalion of the Women's Army Corps, held a role of distinction. Because politicians and the black community loudly complained about discrimination in the Army, approximately 800 black enlisted women were sent overseas to sort bags of mail. Besides nurses, members of the 68-88th were the first and only black women sent to Europe during World War II. Your book is very educational. I was just speaking with Michelle Andegay-Ocello and the power of education and knowledge, and it's so much that we need to learn as humans. Really, we got to be humble people. You don't know everything. And me, I feel like I'm well-read, but every show I do, I learn something new, and I wasn't even aware of this history. I mean, I knew people went overseas, but specifics, you know, about, you know, sorting the mail and these wonderful stories. When you talked to her, what stood out for you with her interview?
She, I think with Gladys, it was her personality, her pride in what she had done, how it transformed her life. I mean, just the pride around military service, especially in that era when, you know, back home there was nothing but discrimination.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she mentions that. She says that she felt she was welcomed more so in Europe, you know, and respected in Europe. And
well, here they thought that blacks had tails. I mean, black women, we were ugly. It just, we were monsters. We were just creatures for sex or entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in Europe, it was like, whoa, these women are so beautiful. But there were little things in her stories, like how well the black women kept their uniforms compared to the
right,
white women, because they
were
used to working in laundries and being maids, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so
mm-hmm.
their appearance, like everything was just so sharp, you know.
Yeah,
because
well, that
of
was a credit,
the,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you never really think about things like that as I don't know, as something that, you know, as actually can turn around and be something very positive. And I don't know, there was a lot in that book that really helped me as a black woman understand
mm-hmm.
who I am and feel good
yeah.
about my place in this country. And I always feel like, I felt for me personally, that was a missing link. Like, there's so much I didn't know about black
mm-hmm.
history, and I wanted to hear it from, like, the people. I didn't want to hear it from, like, historians. You know, I wanted to talk
yeah,
to people and let them tell
literally.
Me their story, and with the use of a book, just sort of weave history and change. And, I mean, you really get to see why the civil rights movement even happened. When these vets came home from World War II, they weren't going to just sit in the back of the bus and say nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, talking
you know,
about
that whole
that,
generation,
another,
you talk about the greatest generation, you know, that is, you know, those men
yeah.
and women that served in World War II, they were African-American and were treated like animals and less than human, and yet served so valiantly for their country, and in so many ways were the first. And it was that
mm-hmm.
generation that's the generation of Martin Luther King. I mean, that's the generation of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, my grandfather served. Your father served in the services,
yeah.
and that's what you mentioned as a catalyst for writing the book. But talking about being a black woman in America, another essay that you have in here about women, or by a woman, Elizabeth Allen, I was very taken by her essay. One particularly, she had already had her master's degree, and she was working to get her PhD. I mean, just breaking stereotypes. You know, at
mm-hmm.
the time, people, you know, even today, you know, there's a whole problem with the educational system, and especially young black men, teachers putting them down and basically saying, well, you know, you're going to jail or you're going to be in the street doing drugs. There's no point in me even trying to educate you. But here is a woman, 1969, already had her master's, went into the services as a nurse, was literally on the front line. I mean, she was dealing with, you know, stomachs falling out and legs off. And she mentions in one part about hearing the guns clicking as they walked by the hospital where she was, you know. So she was, like, right there in the middle. And then she said she didn't want to leave.
No.
That was the amazing part for me. She said she wanted to go back. You know,
yeah.
She wanted to go back. She felt like she really was making some kind of difference there, mainly because she did have such a high level of skill. They really did need her there, you know.
Well, there was so much need in Vietnam. I mean, everywhere was the front line. Those nurses were not safe, and the things that they were seeing and experiencing, you know, it was really, it's just, you know, war is no joke. I mean, a lot of times we watch things on TV, and it's like, it's all like pundits, you know, or like a light show. It looks like a light show when you see bombings on television. But what is happening to those men and women on the ground is just so traumatic.
Yeah.
When I started writing about vets, it was really kind of almost selfish in some ways because I wanted to understand, like, who I was and my history and my father had died, and I was sort of looking for daddy in some ways, I think. And it was just really, it was a very positive thing for me to talk to mostly many of the vets in the book are men, you know, and listen to their stories and be there for them. And then it got real dark when I did In Conflict and did Iraq. It turned into something completely, completely different. Because when you go to places like Walter Reed, yeah, it was a play. It played off Broadway. It played in Europe. And it's now a published play that is performed in colleges and high schools across the country.
I feel good about that it's continuing on.
Voices are in the debate somewhat, at least.
Yeah. I want to talk about another kind of war. Your movie... the movie dealing with uranium in the Navajo Nation. A lot of people may not be aware of that, but for example, 93 million gallons of radioactive material was spilled into the river and near the Navajo Nation. It's one of the largest accidental releases of radioactive material in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
People may not know that 30% of the Navajo population doesn't have drinking water. And the water that they're drinking is contaminated from this uranium. There were, from 1944 to 1986, according to the EPA website, nearly 4 million tons of uranium ore were extracted from the Navajo lands under the lease with the Navajo Nation. So this is another battle. And as a matter of fact, one of the people in your film mentioned how watching a movie about Hiroshima and what was going on there with the people made them think, wow, maybe this is what's going on with us. Talk to the audience a little bit about that trip that you went on and the journey, I should say, in doing that film.
Well, Navajo Nation is an incredible place in this country. I mean, and there's so much, you know, that we can learn from what happened to the Navajo. And probably the biggest thing that it makes me think about are issues of, like, assimilation and what happens when you lose the war to America. Because these are people that lost the war, and this has been what has happened to them. And, I mean, I think the average income is like $6,000 a year. The way they live, they have nothing. They don't have water. They don't have electricity. There's entire areas of Navajo Nation that are, I mean, they're almost like abandoned. You know, you can't find a 7-Eleven or a gas station or all the things we take for granted. It's just open space. And they're ignored.
Miss Navajo Nation on, former Miss Navajo Radmiller Cody on, just talking about the situation. I mean, it's a form of, you know, oppression, racism. They, according to, you know, even the EPA, people knew what was going on. The government knew, but they weren't talking. And the people in your film say, you know, they were taking the kids in the room, examining them, but not telling them what was happening to the kids. You know, we're being hoodwinked and bamboozled. I just got off the phone with Michelle Indigo-Tello and talking about, you know, we think we don't live in some kind of, you know, regime or something, but you know, there's a machine out there, in a sense, you know, working to keep people blind. So
it feels like nobody cares. I mean, when I was there, it just feels like it's, you know, they're just so remote and out there, and no one cares. And it's really heartbreaking, because they're wonderful, beautiful, gracious people, and they, you know, to mine and then leave the mines open and let it contaminate the water, and then like have people drinking this water for years and then not telling them. I mean, that would never happen here. You know, I mean, somebody would say something, some lawyer would get involved, it'd be some kind of campaign, eventually, not, you know, 70 years later, it's still, people are still dealing with it. I mean, I think when you see the documentary, I think, you know, I hope that people think about what's going on in their own neighborhoods, because, you know, nuclear energy is the new thing, and it ain't safe.
Well, we could talk about fracking. Are you familiar with fracking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big problem in Pennsylvania.
Here in Pennsylvania, I remember I just recently signed a petition about that. People may not be familiar with that process, but unfortunately that also can possibly seep chemicals into the water. Some people even think it might have caused the recent earthquake. You know, we had an earthquake. Were you around?
Yeah, I know about the earthquake, yeah.
Yeah, because it went from Virginia all the way up to Canada.
Yeah.
The quake. And so people were thinking, is that because of, you know, the fracking going on?
So we don't respect the land. I mean, that's a definite problem. And since the Navajo don't really own the land, they're more like renters, you know, free renters. You know, America can do whatever America wants to do with the land there, and the land is very, very rich with coal and uranium, and, you know, the only thing they're willing to give them in return is a casino.
I was reading in reference to they had congressional hearing, and they were trying to work together for this five-year plan. I understand this was in the New York Times article I read.
Yeah.
But they were giving $50,000. What's $50,000 when people are having problems? In your film, you talk about pancreas, fibroids.
Dying. They have cancer and they're dying. And, you know, making a documentary like that was really hard because, I mean, now that I've actually finished the process, it's really frustrating for me because, like, I want everyone to see it. You know, like, I feel like people, like the Navajo deserve for us to see what they're going through and to try to engage in some way, you know, because they want to mine the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's right now on the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Grand Canyon has a lot of uranium. You know,
I mean,
the effects of doing something like that scares me.
Well, it's part of, you know, follow the money trail. You know, one of the things I do want to mention, there was a woman, Judy Pasternak, she wrote a book called Yellow Dirt.
Yeah.
Which also was dealing with...
I read
with,
it,
Yeah, you read that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are people who are working, such as yourself, such as Judy, trying to get the word out. But, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, I do shows all the time. I have, you know, an extensive library, but I continue to learn. You know, I continue to learn about these different issues that are happening around the globe, in our backyard. I just did a show about human trafficking, but domestic human trafficking. It's just so much. But so you got to choose your poison and figure out, you know, what the cure is. And I think you're on a great path. Your journalism, you know, excellent stories. The book, We Were There, is just beautiful. I'm going to be giving away a copy of this book, We Were There. So if you want to get a free copy of We Were There, Voices of African American Veterans from World War II to the War in Iraq, you need to follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys and become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And Yvonne, you're on Twitter also. What's your Twitter handle?
At Yvonne Latty, at YVONNELATTY. And I have two websites. YvonneLatty.com and SacredPoison.com, which is the name of the documentary, and they're you know, letting people know what festivals it's going to be in, what's the latest, and there's information about it as well as a clip of a woman named Rolanda Tahani who it has had, you know, she just had her 14th surgery from drinking contaminated water. And she
they had no other place to go.
She has no other place to go, and one of the surgeries disfigured her face.
Yeah, I put that link in the chat room. I do see people in the chat room. Thank you for tuning in, and if you have a question, you can type it in the chat room, or you can call in 646-929-0368 to ask the question. So, Yvonne, what's your next step? You're doing these, like, in-depth, you know, how do you decompress after doing stories like that?
That's the question I'm always asked, you know, when I speak about my work, is like, how do you, you know, I mean...
Yeah, like, you're like a social worker.
I'm not a drinker, I don't do drugs, you know, I have children,
I'm very normal
in that way, you know, I mean, for me, like, every single day, I swear, I think about what a gift life is. And I feel like I am so lucky because I grew up in a really tough neighborhood in New York City. My parents didn't have a lot of money. Everything was a struggle. I lost my sister, you know, in a car accident at a young age. And I just feel like, you know, I just want to do everything I can to help people and to show the world a little bit of the things that I think are important, and to use my voice to help others who have no voice. And
definitely,
it kind of helps me, it makes me happy, it makes me smile, it makes me realize that, you know, your life can have meaning. And, you know, when I'm on the reservation, you know, I'm from Harlem, you know, and there I am. I'm a Navajo. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, my God,
reservation.
I can't believe where my life has taken me in, and then I have the ability to try at least to help get these stories out. And when I did We Were There, it was such a positive experience. It was around the time, it came out around the time of the memorial being dedicated, the World War II memorial in D.C., and there was, you know, no black representation, and the Smithsonian contacted me, and they had an event for five of my World War II vets, and
great.
I mean, the vets were crying. Gladys was there. I mean, they were crying. People stood up and clapped for them and stomped their feet for them and hugged them. And for the first time, these vets were told,
they were acknowledged.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that, you know,
well,
for me, that was, oh, my God, you know. That made up for how hard it was, you know, and how traumatic it was in some cases,
I
want to
mention
to
again.
Stories.
Let me mention again the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255. Again, the Veterans Crisis Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. Also, Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. I just want to thank you for coming on today. I want to let the people know you can follow you on Twitter at Yvonne Latty. Also, your website, YvonneLatty.com. And to learn more about Sacred Poison, which is dealing with the Iranian and Navajo Nation, you want to check out sacredpoison.com. Also, just to, you know, give you your kudos, you're a Dart Fellow for Journalism and Trauma. You're a Leeway Foundation Fellow. You have a BFA in Film and Television and an MA in Journalism. You're doing your thing, and, you know, God bless you. And please continue to educate us about what's going on out here, because we're in the dark, literally, you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You have a wonderful Saturday.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with Yvonne Latty, a journalist and filmmaker. You want to check out her website, YvonneLatty.com. Also, check out her film's website, SacredPoison.com, dealing with uranium in the Navajo Nation. And you can follow her on Twitter, at Yvonne Latty. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm going to be giving away a copy of the book she worked on, We Were There, Voices of African-American Veterans from World War II to the War in Iraq. So you want to follow me or you want to become a fan. Also, send me an email. My email is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, and stay tuned. Tune in next week, next Saturday, December 10th. Ursula is coming on, Ursula Rucker, spoken word artist, and also astrologist Samuel Reynolds. So tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m., 646-929-0368 is the call-in number. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening.
My daughter Kara came back from Iraq a few weeks ago. I'm so proud of her. She served and came back in one piece. But something was off. She was different. Distant. My wife told me not to push the issue, but I'm her dad.
You may not know what to say, but we can help start the conversation. Visit supportyourvet.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.